views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women.
I'm Chris Stainis,
and I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom, and I just want to share, I think I mentioned it last week too, we just started our crowdfunding campaign to raise funds for our 25th anniversary conference. It's quite a big year, and we're needing some advanced funds to, you know, conferences are pretty expensive, but to put on, and we thought this year we would do some crowdfunding campaign, because it's all about raising the feminine spirit and transforming our world, and we're one of the longest-running women's spirituality conference since 1993. We've provided a unique and intimate setting for women to create lasting change in their lives and the world. And so we'd love for you to help us keep it going. And it has a ripple effect as we each of us grows into our power and women find their voices. It impacts everyone around the world. So I would love for you to consider donating to our crowdfunding campaign. It's up on our website. Just go to womenofwisdom.org. Thank you for that, for considering that. Well, today we're going to talk about how past lives can impact our health and our current life with Joanne DiMaggio, author of Karma Can Be a Real Pain, Past Life Clues to Current Life Maladies. She is an inspired writer, lecturer, and teacher, has been actively involved with Edgar Cayce's Association for Research and Enlightenment since 1987. She earned a master's in transpersonal studies degree and her spiritual mentor certification through Atlantic University. Joanne is a graduate of the Eastern Institute of Hypnotherapy and a member of the National Association of Transpersonal Hypnotherapists. And she's been professionally pursuing past life research and therapy for nearly 30 years. And her other books include Soul Writing, Conversing with Your Higher Self, and its sequel, Your Soul Remembers, Accessing Your Past Lives Through Soul Writing. And you can check out her website at joannedimaggio.com. Joanne, JoanneDimaggio.com. Okay, so welcome, Joanne.
Well, thank you, Chris. I'm really glad to be with you today.
Yeah, and your book is just newly out, so this may be the first radio interview or one of them that getting the word out there about this. It's been a research project. So you've been pursuing this since 87, so I'd love for you to tell the audience, you know, how this came about, your interests in past life work, you know, what got you interested in that and how it's evolved over 30 years.
Well, I was actually interested in it as a child, but didn't really know what it was that I was showing an interest in. I gravitated to the 18th century, especially American history in that time period. I would go to the library and get books about Dolly Madison and Abigail Adams, and I would, for Halloween, I'd always dress up in that time, with a dress in that time period, wear my hair in little ringlets. I would be writing with a quill pen. Then I started to really get into Baroque music, and basically everyone thought I was a very strange child. And I continued that interest all through school and got into college and, again, majored in history with a specialty in 18th century history, and had a professor tell me that I had the most uncanny feel for the 18th century of any student he ever had. And so that started me to thinking, well, where is this coming from? Because I grew up in a blue-collar neighborhood in Chicago, and this sort of interest just was not common at all there. So I started reading books about Edgar Cayce and about Ruth Montgomery, Jess Stern, started to read books. I think the first book I read on reincarnation was The Search for Bridie Murphy. And that really got me hooked. And then things were happening in my own life. There were a lot of synchronistic events that were pointing to the fact that perhaps I myself had a past life in the 18th century. So I continued to read about it, study about it, became involved with the ARE, and met many. I formed a past life research organization in Chicago, and met many of the leading therapists and writers in that field. And my interest just continued to grow, and eventually I became a certified hypnotherapist myself so that I could actually do the regression work, and have been doing it ever since. And I love doing research projects, and all three of my books were the result of a research project, and this one specifically was geared toward people who had chronic conditions that may have originated in a prior lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to go into, like, the title of your book is Karma. So I'd love for you to share with the audience, in case they don't know, what karma is and how that impacts us, how you see that impacting people.
Well, karma is basically the law of cause and effect. So you may have heard the expression, whatsoever a soul soweth, that shall it also reap. It's a check, a balance of whatever has happened to us in the past, whether it was something we did to someone, something that someone did to us, or any other kind of event that had great impact on us, we carry that forward. And we work through those issues until we resolve them. So, say that you had an issue of abandonment in a previous life. Your karmic event was abandonment. You would come back into the next life, and you'd have to learn to deal with that. In resolving that to get past that. So it's basically what you've done in the past. It's a very, very, I think, justice system that makes total sense to me. Because I grew up Catholic, and the whole concept of sin being resolved because of going to confession didn't make much sense to me. Whereas karma made total sense to me. It explained to me why some people were rich and some people were poor, why some people were healthy and others weren't, why some people had relationships that were loving and others didn't. It just explained all that and really put the responsibility back on us. So that's basically what karma is. As far as physical karma is concerned, which is what the book is about, physical karma is just a manifestation of karmic law, but it's taking place at a visible or a physical level within the human body. So it's the same concept, but it's focused on what's going on with you physically.
Mm-hmm. And we'll go more into that, I'm sure, with some of the stories. And because the physical karma is like a physical reaction to the karma that you have taken on. So you started with, you were a longtime student with Edgar Cayce, and been involved there. And so how much does he influence your work and this book?
Well, I consider Edgar Cayce my mentor, and I have studied his readings, at 14,000 readings that he gave over his lifetime. He was considered the most renowned psychic of his time, and also considered the father of holistic medicine. When I was doing my research, I was very pleasantly surprised to find that they still had the old-fashioned card catalog over at the ARE Library in Virginia Beach, and they had categorized all of his physical readings, and it went from acne all the way to venereal disease. So I was able to read all of the readings that he gave people who came to him with a chronic condition, asking for assistance. And many times he just simply gave them the remedy for it. But other times, if he gave them a life reading, he would tell them about a past life that they had and where this condition began. So someone who came to him who was blind, he said it was because they had blinded somebody in a previous life. Or somebody who was dealing with a weight issue, he said, well, you used to make fun of people that had a weight issue. So it was really fascinating to go through all of those files and read the readings and the advice that he was giving people, the information he gave them, and then what happened as a result of that. So it was just very rich with background information that I was able to incorporate into this book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and when you're talking about that cause and effect of you made fun of somebody who was heavy or you were mean and you mm-hmm. next life you're the one that's heavy and having to deal with weight issues is, I think in your book you talk about people make a decision at their death when, which can be traumatic deaths, but a decision is made and that kind of carries forward into the next life too.
Exactly, exactly. I had a woman who came to me that had head-to-toe psoriasis, and when we went back, she went back to a life when she was a prostitute in the Old West, and her last thoughts as she died was, I don't want to be touched. And so in this life, she manifests a skin condition in which nobody wants to touch her. So those are the kinds of stories that I heard over and over and over again in the course of my research project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then and when you really find out those things, it kind of makes sense. Like, oh, why did I come into this world with this? And that helps people deal with it. And I know we're going to talk about some of the case studies of how people have gained an understanding and it has helped them in this life to understand where all this is coming from. Because that's a lot of times we're perplexed, like, why am I feeling this way? Why do I have this illness? All that. Well, we're going to take a quick break now. We'll come back and talk more with Joanne DiMaggio, author of Karma Can Be a Real Pain.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
It's that time of the year again. The Woman of Wisdom Fall Harvest Festival is right around the corner. Join us on October 1st from 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at North Seattle Community College Conference Center. Admission is free. Festivities include arts and crafts, energy healers, intuitive readers, delicious food, and more. Don't miss this fun-filled event. For more information, visit womanofwisdom.org. That is womanofwisdom.org. And we'll see you there.
Do you want to achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com.
Calling all Intuit's healers and readers. You are invited to the Women of Wisdom Fall Festival. Join us as we celebrate the bounty of our Mother Earth on October 1st at North Seattle Community College. We're looking for a variety of practitioners and experts in the art of energy healings, intuitive readings, and bodywork. If you are a reader, healer, or an artisan selling handmade arts and crafts, we invite you to share your gifts with the Women of Wisdom community. Go to womenofwisdom.org to apply.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Tune in to The Michael Shane Show the third Tuesday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and connect with the ascended beings to raise your vibration and manifest the life you desire. Get ready to receive healing through the transphysical mediumship of Reverend Michael Shane and the ascended beings. Visit MichaelShane.com. That's M-Y-C-H-A-E-L, Shane.com, and call 425-971-6632 to schedule your full healing session now.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I am speaking today with Joanne DiMaggio. She's the author of Karma Can Be a Real Pain. I love that title. so we've been talking about the karma and how past life impacts us in our current life, and that you do past life regression and hypnotherapy on people. So one of the things that led into this and your other books is soul writing. And it's something that you use in this process as well. So let's talk a little bit about soul writing and what that is.
Sure. Soul writing is basically a written form of meditation. So for your listeners who do meditation on a regular basis, it's the same identical process. The only difference is that you put the pen on paper, or you could actually do it as a keyboard if you'd like. Rather than that message coming in through, through your soul and just you hearing it or sensing it or feeling it, you allow it to come through you, out your hand, and actually onto the paper so that you have a written record of what the guidance was all about. So, you know, I'm sure everybody knows about the book's Conversations with God, and it's that form of communication with a higher source through writing. So that higher source could be God, could be angels, could be your higher self, could be a guide, whatever you're comfortable with thinking that it is. And that's available to people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's like a little tool that we were given when we were born. It was kind of tucked away in our little backpacks when we got here. And it's a way of getting guidance to life's questions that we're not able to find answers in any other way. So you're tapping into the collective consciousness, to that place where wisdom resides, and you're able to ask any question and get an answer in writing. And so it's a very powerful tool. I did my thesis on it when I got my master's degree. Edgar Cayce used to call it inspirational writing. I changed the title to soul writing because the definition of inspirational writing has changed over the years. Now it's applied mostly to the Christian genre. And it's not automatic writing, by the way. That's a big misconception. There's a difference between the two. And so I make that pretty clear in the book. And I also include at the end of the book how to go about doing it so that if anybody wants to try it on their own, they can follow those instructions and give it a try.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, how is it different than automatic writing?
Well, automatic writing, there's a list of differences between the two. Automatic writing is coming from the outside, coming from an outside source. Inspirational writing or soul writing is coming from within. With inspirational writing or soul writing, your handwriting stays the same. With automatic writing, it changes. Automatic writing, you can't really control your hand. It just kind of moves, by itself, and you can't really stop it from going. Inspirational writing doesn't do that. So there's a whole list, and I put those differences in the book as well. Yeah.
Okay, great. That makes sense. So so let's talk about the research project, and you had volunteers that, had 50 people that you researched for a year, and you wrote, about half of them are in the book. And so let's go through that process that you did with the volunteers, how you worked with them, how you, did the research.
Mm-hmm. Well, I put out a call to people who wanted to volunteer for the project, and I was looking for people who had a chronic condition of some sort who were willing to come in and do the regression and the soul writing. and then the follow-up interview. So it was a three-part process. And I had a lot of people contacted me through Unity Church, through ARE, and then the word kind of spread. They went through a screening process first, then I did an interview. And when they came, I had people that were from age 34 up to 74. They came from all different professions. I had a professor, nurses. I had a defense contractor, a flight attendant, Navy veteran, all people that you wouldn't think of them as being the kind that would come in and make up stories or hallucinate or anything like that. These were really a cross section of the population, and they came in with conditions like arthritis and diabetes and heart disease. I had people with liver and kidney problems, weight and digestive issues. A lot of people that had head related concerns. They may have had repeated concussions, things like that. A lot of people with foot, leg, and back pain came in. I even had people with sexual issues, drug and alcohol abuse, and mental and emotional disorder. So we really covered a very wide gamut. When they came in, after the initial interview, when I started the regression, I started with a body scan. As I was relaxing them, I asked them to scan different parts of their body to tell me if they had any discomfort, sensitivity, or if they had a birthmark in that part of their body. And then from there, we went into the actual regression. I asked their soul to take them to the lifetime in which this physical condition, this chronic condition, first began. And so we went through that lifetime, and then after that was over, then we did the soul writing. So I asked them to ask their soul if there was anything else that they could get in writing that they didn't get in the regression. And while they were doing the writing, I was also doing the writing, and then we would kind of compare what we got that way. Oftentimes, you get the backstory. You get answers to questions that you didn't get in the regression. So we found it a really helpful tool. And then finally, 6 weeks later, I followed up to ask them whether their condition had remained the same, if it had improved, if it had gotten worse, or if hopefully they had experienced a total healing. And so that was something that I did, like I said, over the course of a year with 50 people, and 23 of them are in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so doing a body scan, it's kind of interesting to, I'm wondering if people had problems doing this or accepting that the information was accurate or real.
Almost all of them thought they made it up, I'll be honest with you, because they could not believe some of the things that they were experiencing, and they kept saying, I think I made this up. I think this is part of my imagination. But by the end of it, when we went through the whole thing, and especially the follow-up interview that I did, like I said, 6 weeks later, they were convinced that this was real. None of them would have actually come into the session with the intent of lying. You know, they didn't come in thinking, I'm going to make this up as I go along. Every single one of them, when I asked them, would you have made up that story? Because some of their stories were just absolutely fascinating, and the detail. Many of them could smell what was going on. They could feel it. They were bursting into tears. They were laughing, emotions coming out, which under hypnosis, you generally, that simply does not happen. And they really felt the shift and happening within them, and their perspectives changed. So while they thought I had to be imagining this, at the end they knew that it was something that was very real. It made perfect sense to them, and it had a positive impact on their lives going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know sometimes people want to have people who are skeptic to start in something like this.
Right, because I like to think of it as a scientific venture in a way. I really wanted them to tell their own story. So I tried to keep my voice out of it as much as possible so that they could just relay the story. That's why it was so important for me to have people who were believable, who may have come in thinking, I'm not sure about this, but okay, I've tried everything else. Why not try regression? and see what comes of it. So, you know, you could disbelieve one or two people, but 50, it was really, really an awesome experience for me, and I'm very humbled by the whole thing.
Well, give us some examples of some of the people that you had in your study.
I had one man whose name was Gary, 68 years old. He came to me complaining of arthritis, and he said the arthritis was only in his thumbs. He regressed to 1832 in Virginia. He was a 35-year-old man named John. He had a wife and an 8-year-old son, a 6 and an 8-year-old son, rather. In the regression, I asked him to go to the significant event in that life that caused the physical karma in this life. He went back to a Civil War skirmish. He was an officer in the 32nd Virginia Infantry, and he used his saber to strike at the hands of his opponents. He severed the thumbs of a man in the Union cavalry. And so now you could see in this life he's complaining of arthritis in his thumbs. And in that life he was using his saber to cut off the hands or the thumbs of his opponents, because his theory was, well, they won't be able to hold a saber anymore. They won't be able to hold a gun. They won't be able to ride their horse or whatever. You know, we kind of explored what are the similarities between Gary and John, and we could see the connection between the two. And then with his case, you can actually see this is the tit-for-tat kind of a thing, where he did something to someone, and now he's experiencing that kind of pain in the exact location on his body that he had destroyed in the other person. So he said his condition remained the same after our session, but he was really enthused about the healing potential of past life work, and so he's one of the people that had a shift in his attitude and his perspective about it.
We'll get to some others too. We're going to take another commercial break now, so we'll be right back and talk more with Joanne DiMaggio.
There are so many resources out there for meditation, but did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Vadili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's ATANAMethod.com, and sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Are you feeling stagnant or blocked in your love life, career, health, or finances? Experiencing difficulty focusing or setting and achieving goals? Tune in to Spiritual Diagnostics Radio with psychic visionary healers Carol Dorian and Suzanne Evans. Discover the cause and effect of unwanted patterns in life. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit spiritualdeed.com.
Would you like to experience life-transforming adventures in personal expansion and world service? If you do, tune in to learn about magical innate abilities that you can develop and use to make your dreams come true. Joy Elaine is author of The Joy Chronicles, and she's inviting you and millions of others to join her in working with galactic masters, angels, and the Ashtar Command, as they assist humanity and planet Earth to achieve their ultimate destination of ascension. For more information about this upcoming event and broadcast, visit joyelaine.com. That's joy, ELAINE.com.
Are you anxious, worried, or insecure? Hi, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub. I'm the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution. Join me for my next breakthrough video seminar which starts on September 10th. This program has helped thousands of people worldwide to overcome their struggles with anxiety, and I'm certain it can also help you. If you're ready to be free again and have a stronger foundation of inner peace and confidence, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
It's that time of the year again. The Woman of Wisdom Fall Harvest Festival is right around the corner. Join us on October 1st from 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at North Seattle Community College Conference Center. Admission is free. Festivities include arts and crafts, energy healers, intuitive readers, delicious food, and more. Don't miss this fun-filled event. For more information, visit womanofwisdom.org. That is womanofwisdom.org. And we'll see you there.
Welcome back to Voices of Women, and I'm Chris Stainis, and we're talking about karma, how it can be a real pain, and how past life clues can help you with your current life maladies with Joanne DiMaggio. So, Joanne, please give your contact information, website, and what you can offer people.
Sure. My website is joannedimaggio.com. That's JoanneDimaggio.com. And people can email me at joanne@joannedimaggio.com. And for people in the Charlottesville, Virginia area, I do regression work. I'm the founder of and the director of the Unity Holistic Healing Center, which is a part of Unity of Charlottesville. So I have maintained an office there. But they can go online and learn more about soul writing and about the regression work that I do. And hopefully, eventually, I was doing online classes through the ARE, but they have stopped offering that, so I'm going to be looking into starting those on my own. So if people want to do an online course and this, they'll be able to do that.
Great. Okay, so we were talking about some examples of people's regression and their illnesses and stuff. So did you have any surprises during the course of your research?
Yeah, I had a woman, her name was Emma. She came in complaining of sciatica. She's 65 years old. She's a healthcare provider. And she regressed to the 18th century to France as a woman named Marie, a 20-something prima ballerina. And what surprised me about her is that she started speaking in a French accent. Now, I had heard from my colleagues that they have had clients that have actually spoken in the language that they had as in the past life, but I had never experienced that. And she was really sincere in she had this accent. And you know how people, if you're talking to someone and English is their second language, sometimes they would stutter to try to figure out what the word was. You know, they go, I think it's this or whatever. She was doing that, and it was really kind of a surprise to me. But then she said she had studied French in high school, and so that sort of made sense. But to continue with that French accent through the whole thing. Well, anyway, what she had done in her past life was that she had deliberately tripped a ballerina that she thought was a rival to her, and caused her to break her leg, and the girl was not able to dance anymore. And in this life, that ballerina came back as her daughter, and so they've had to deal with all of those issues together in this life. So I thought that was pretty fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you bring that up of people that were in your life back then, in this life that you took them in a regression, how they find them, who they are in this life, you know, how they related, how did they figure out that, oh, that's so-and-so in this life?
Right, that's one of the questions that I ask them, and I ask them, are there any people from that life that are in your life now? And I tell them, now, you have to remember that we change roles in our lives. We travel with the same group of souls. It's our soul family, our pod. But we change our relationships. So your mother in this life could very well have been your husband in a previous life, or your son in this life could have been your mother in the other lifetime. But you can tell, when you really get into the regression, you can feel that person. You can feel the essence of that person's soul. And so you'll say, gee, you know what? My husband in that life seems an awful lot like my dad in this life. They have the same kind of qualities, and I feel about them the same way. So I ask them, okay, then if he's in your life again now, what role is he playing? Or what role is she playing? And they're usually able to draw the correlation between the two. And the same thing with the patterns. I'll say to them, what is it about that lifetime? Say their name, well, in the case of Emma, she went back to being Marie. What is it about Marie that's similar to you, Emma, in this life? And in her case, she said, well, we both have a love of ballet. We have a childlike laughter. We have a lightness of being in joy. We have the same muscular, energetic body. So they make the connection between the two lives, and that makes it all the more real for them. You know, what are the parallels? Who are the people? Those kinds of questions kind of tie it all up for them.
Yeah, and it can kind of make sense, like, why you're going through things in your life now. You know, why was she having, you know, she was having a difficult relationship with her daughter.
Right. She said that that her daughter in this life had rejected her, and she felt that was payback and judgment as retribution for what Marie did to that girl. And interestingly enough, Emma was very embarrassed about that. She didn't really want to admit that she had done something. She says, "Oh, I'm very naughty," she said. "I did something terrible." So she's remorseful, but yet she felt like she had to do it. She had to get this girl out of the way. But in this life, if you meet Emma, she's the most delightful person. She's very loving and kind. And I really feel like in this life she's transcended that karma because of the way she's chosen to live her life in this lifetime. It's the complete opposite of Emma. So she's able to really put that behind her and now move forward. And now she knows the source of the angst between her and her daughter, and she can deal with it a lot better knowing where this is all coming from, that it wasn't necessarily anything she did to her daughter in this lifetime. This is a subconscious reaction to the imprint that's on her soul from what happened to her in the prior lifetime. So it's, like I said, it's very fascinating how this all plays out.
Well, there was other stories too, similar, where you're saying, you know, in the other life she did this mean thing, in this life she's very kind and helpful, and that's part of the working through the karma, of the karmic lesson that if you don't, you come back and
you're going to repeat it again, right?
You're going to repeat that same thing.
Yeah, right. It's like taking a class. Like Earth is a school, and everything that we're dealing with are lessons that we've come to learn. And if it'll be brought right back to you again. And if you don't learn the lesson, then you'll just have to repeat the class again. You'll have. It's a pass-fail system, you know.
Well, did you have any people in your research that were repeating that same karmic?
Yes,
lesson?
I did, actually. I had one woman who had traced the same identical problem to three different lifetimes, and they all involved, it was a repetitive karma with a former lover of hers. She was dealing with liver issues in this lifetime. She's a 34-year-old woman. She went back to 800 BC in Mesopotamia, where it first started. But she had two other lifetimes, one in the 1300s and one in the 1600s, in which almost the same identical situation came up and it involved the same people again. So, like I said, it was dealing with this, with the same group of people, three different lifetimes. So now she's in this lifetime, this lifetime number four, dealing with the same exact situation, but now she knows about it. Now she knows where this all came from. She knows the role that everybody played, and now she has the choice, because we all have free will. She has the choice of confronting it, understanding it, and then healing it. With all of these people, I included a healing message, a healing prayer in the regression itself, so that they could free themselves of this this karmic burden and let those people go. Let the transgression go and send them love and light and healing energy. And that set a lot of them free, which is basically what the image on the cover of the book represents, that freedom once that chain is broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have that freedom. And when you understand where things are coming from, a lot of times we just don't know and we're, you know, perplexed and maybe right. frustrated with our life and don't know where to go, you know, how to approach even these issues that you have in your life. So it's giving them a little place to start working on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that you do too is, and I did mention it, that you take them through their death scene. And so share a little bit of that as some of the things that, you know, the last thoughts that they had when they leave their body. They might have had regrets or unfinished business. Do we come back here with unfinished business? You know, what happens there?
Well, when we go through the death scene, I have them looking at it as if it were a movie. So then I ask them, where are you? Are you alone? How old are you? Do you know what you're dying from? And then as their soul leaves their body, I ask them, what are the last thoughts that you're having? Because oftentimes those last thoughts set up the next lifetime. As I mentioned that woman earlier, the woman who had the psoriasis, when her last thoughts were, I don't want to be touched. And then, of course, in this lifetime, she manifests with that skin condition. A lot of them would say, and I would tell you the majority of them talked about love. The majority of them felt that they had not, that their focus had been on all the wrong things, that they should have spent more time with their family, that they should have loved more deeply. You know, whether that affected them in this life or not, sometimes we weren't able to really see very clearly how the correlation was. I had one man who said he thought his lifetime was just a damn waste of time. So now in this life, I ask them, well, do you think this life is a waste of time as well? And a lot of them have the same, you know, if they're suffering from a depression in the previous life. I had one woman who had what would have been called postpartum depression back then, and this was in 1492. She was a man in that life in the Celtic Isles, and his wife suffered from postpartum depression, but they didn't know what that was back then. And so she ended up having this really unhappy marriage. And in this life, she comes in and she changed roles with her husband. So now she's instead of being the male as she was in the last lifetime, now she's the female. And she came in depressed and had a mm-hmm. breakdown after her child was born. So
So you see that correlation. Well, we have taken another break now, so we'll be come back shortly and talk more with Joanne DiMaggio.
Calling all Intuits, healers, and readers, you are invited to the Women of Wisdom Fall Festival. Join us as we celebrate the bounty of our Mother Earth on October 1st at North Seattle Community College. We're looking for a variety of practitioners and experts in the art of energy healings, intuitive readings, and body work. If you are a reader, healer, or an artisan selling handmade arts and crafts, we invite you to share your gifts with the Women of Wisdom community. Go to womenofwisdom.org to apply.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Sky Siegel, co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you want for yourself. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show for women in recovery who are ready to live life on purpose. Tune in and let Catherine help you live your truth one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine, and my show is Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com. When we're bogged down with our emotions, the hardships that plague us in our relationships, at work, our finances, we literally can't see the higher plane where we could be operating from. Tune in to Leslie Fontaine, Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
This is Christina, and you're listening to Voices of Women. And today I'm speaking with Joanne DiMaggio. She's the author of Karma Can Be a Real Pain, Past Life Clues to Current Life Maladies. And so you were just talking, Joanne, about a woman in this lifetime now who has depression or bipolar, that the regression you went to was the man and his wife had depression. And right. So there was that correlation. But so then moving forward, I think there's another story you want to share. And I know one of the things that you do is like a follow-up interview several months later, and you find out, you know, how they are and how their physical symptoms are and all that. And I think I'd love to hear about that from this story of this one person that you're wanting to share.
Yeah, I was at the end of my research project and had pretty much decided I had interviewed everybody I wanted to interview. And I got a call from a man who said that his wife was suffering from night terrors. And so she's having nightmares every other night. And the nightmares were of her being tortured and sexually abused and beaten. She was in servitude and she was witnessing abuse to children. And he said that they were just terrible and it was just disrupting their lives. And was there anything that I could do for her? And so I thought, well, you know I had finished my research, but I said, have her come in and see me. She was her name is Irene. She's a 71-year-old retired psychiatric nurse. And she thought that these night terrors were connected to a life in a Nazi concentration camp. And so I told her, I said, well, we'll go back and find out the origin, but don't be surprised if it's not what you think it is. And sure enough, it wasn't. She went back to a life in the early 20th century in England, and but the conditions of her life then were the same as what they would be in a concentration camp. She was sold at the age of 14 to a man who operated a prostitution ring. She was sexually abused. She was in servitude to him, and earlier she had been with parents who abused her, who beat her, who she was cold, she never had any clothes or no blanket on her bed. And so we went through that whole lifetime and noted the similarities. And when we were finished, I checked in with her like 6 weeks later, and she said that she had not had a nightmare since our session. Now, fast forward almost a year later, when I had my book launch last week over at Unity Church, and they were in the audience, and the husband came up to me, and he had tears in his eyes, and he took my hand, and he said, I want to thank you so much. You did so much for my wife. She hasn't had those horrible nightmares anymore since she came to see you. That's how powerful this can be. You know, past life work gets to the bottom of the source of the problem. It goes directly to the root cause of it. And often you get healing in one session. So Irene was a true blessing to me. And it, like I said, the work continues to humble me. When someone comes up to you and has tears in their eyes and tells you that their lives have changed because of that one session, it really shows you how powerful this tool of transformation and healing can be.
Mm-hmm. And that shows how the people that you worked with, the volunteers, what they get out of the experience. Is there anything else in that of any other personal stories of what people, even people listening, like we would talk about the skeptics of, is this real? Is this really going to help? And how could it possibly be true? All those things that go in our minds.
Right. In the course of my research, I went and looked at what other actual medical doctors have said about this. And Dr. Norm Shealy, who is well known for his leadership in the holistic medical field, he does a lot of workshops on medical intuition with Carolyn Mace. He said that in his experience, all illness is past life related. So for a medical doctor to come out and make a statement like that, I think that's a pretty bold remark, and just shows you how, the scientific community is changing its mind about this and looking into other possibilities. So Edgar Cayce said there are in truth no incurable conditions. And so this is just another element of healing. And I think that regardless of what the outcome was, people came to look at it as a gift because it enabled them to understand that the affliction not only of themselves but of others, so that they didn't judge too harshly anyone and come to conclusions about somebody based on what they were dealing with. And it also enlarged their horizons to become better people. So very powerful, very, very, very powerful tool of transformation.
And it gives them something to work on specifically, understand. I would imagine understand the relationships around them, because that's what impacted. But and I think with the past life thing and around illnesses is our cellular memory, that is in our bodies that also needs some releasing or understanding of. And I know doing some body work, sometimes that touches, those memories.
Cranial sacral work, massage, all of that can access past life information just as easily as hypnosis and a regression can do. So there are many other options for accessing that than a traditional regression. Just have to pay attention, be aware, and suspend your disbelief and just sort of surrender to it. And just see, your soul knows everything. Your soul knows exactly every lifetime you've ever had, every thought, word, and deed you ever had. And that information is there for you to access. It's your right to access that information. You just have to set aside any kind of disbeliefs you may have about it and just try it and see what comes of it. You'd be surprised.
Uh-huh. And that's that soul writing that you're talking about, too. Just
right.
Your higher spirit or God or angels or guides, whoever it is that, this information comes through to you, if it's interesting to see it's what could be revealed.
Right, and there's so many aha moments that come from the writing itself, where they'll stop and they'll go, oh, now I get it, it's very eye-opening for many people.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today and for providing your research and your book.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yep. So everybody, check out her book, Karma Can Be a Real Pain. It's just out now. Check her website, joannedimaggio.com. And just close my show with a reminder about our crowdfunding campaign to raise our funds for our 25th anniversary conference. It's quite something to be, this has been my life for 25 years. It's quite something to have this legacy and to have to bring all these women together. We got some great presenters that are going to be coming. We're going to be launching our conference within the month, within October. It'll be up on our website sometime before the end of October. And so just check out our website at womenofwisdom.org and consider donating to our campaign so that we can actually make this year's conference a reality. That, you know, they're expensive to put on, and there's upfront costs that have to be covered. So we appreciate anyone's donation to that. And as a reminder, tomorrow, Saturday, October 1st, is our Woman of Wisdom Fall Festival. If you happen to live in the Seattle region, we will be at North Seattle College for a fun day of shopping. We've got some great vendors, art, clothing, jewelry. Get an intuitive reading or energy healing. It's from 10:30 to 5 p.m. It's in the conference room at the North Seattle College, and that's right near the corner of 95th. There's a light at 95th and College Way North. So I'd love to meet you. Come hang out at our fall festival, and I'll see you there tomorrow. And invite you to check out my book as well, A Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Spirit, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Woman. It's an Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, and I'm going to be having that come out this week as an iBook and a Kindle book. So look for that as well in the next few days. Okay, well, everybody have a great weekend, and we'll be back here next Friday.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.